You're listening to Weekday World from CPR, Community Public Radio. I'm your host, Don DeBar.
I give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Jewish people are a patient people. Throughout 3,000 years of civilization, foreign conquest, exile, and return, Jerusalem has remained their spiritual home. For nearly 70 years, the city of Jerusalem has been the capital of the State of Israel, despite many attempts by others to deny that reality. The American people are less patient. In 1948, the United States was the first nation to recognize the independent state of Israel. In 1995, the U.S. Congress declared that Jerusalem should be recognized as the capital of Israel and that the U.S. Embassy should be located in Jerusalem. Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama all agreed with that position, but they did not act. They delayed in the hopes that a peace process would produce results, results that never came. For 22 years, the American people have overwhelmingly supported that position, and they have waited and waited. This week, President Trump finally made the decision to no longer deny the will of the American people. It's important to be clear about exactly what the president's decision does. The president has announced that the United States recognizes the obvious, that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. He has also instructed the State Department to begin the process of relocating the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That is what the president has done, and this is what he has not done. The United States has not taken a position on boundaries or borders. The specific dimensions of sovereignty over Jerusalem are still to be decided by the Israelis and the Palestinians in negotiations. The United States has not advocated changing any of the arrangements at the Temple Mount Harim al-Sharif. The president specifically called for maintaining the status quo at the holy sites. Finally, and critically, the United States is not predetermining final status issues. We remain committed to achieving a lasting peace agreement. We support a two-state solution if agreed to by the parties. Those are the facts of what was said and done this week. Now there are a few more points that are central to the discussion of this issue. Israel, like all nations, has the right to determine its capital city. Jerusalem is the home of Israel's parliament, president, prime minister, Supreme Court, and many of its ministries. It is simple common sense that foreign embassies be located there. In virtually every country in the world, U.S. embassies are located in the host country's capital city. Israel should be no different. The United States took this step in full knowledge that it will raise questions and concerns. Our actions are intended to help advance the cause of peace. We must recognize that peace is advanced, not set back, when all parties are honest with each other. Our actions reflected an honest assessment of reality. I understand the concern members have in calling this session. Change is hard, but we should never doubt what the truth can do. We should never doubt that when we face the truth, believe in the human spirit, and encourage each other, that peace can happen. To those who have good faith concerns about the future of peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, let me again assure you that the President and this administration remain committed to the peace process. To those who do not act in good faith, to any person, leader, country, or terrorist group that uses this week's decision as a pretext for violence, you are only showing yourselves to be unfit partners of peace. Finally, I will not let this moment pass without a comment about the United Nations itself. Over many years, the United Nations has outrageously been of the world's foremost centers of hostility towards Israel. The UN has done much more damage to the prospects for Middle East peace than to advance them. We will not be a party to that. The United States no longer stands by when Israel is unfairly attacked in the United Nations. And the United States will not be lectured to by countries that lack any credibility when it comes to treating both Israelis and Palestinians fairly. It is no coincidence that the historic peace agreements between Egypt and Israel and between Jordan and Israel were both signed on the White House lawn. If and when there's a historic peace agreement between Israelis and Palestinians, there's a good likelihood that it too will be signed on the White House lawn. Why is that? It's because the United States has credibility with both sides. Israel will never be, and should never be, bullied into an agreement by the United Nations or by any collection of countries that have proven their disregard for Israel's security. To my Palestinian brothers and sisters, I can tell you with complete confidence that the United States is deeply committed to achieving a peace agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians. We have demonstrated that commitment over many years and with the investment of large quantities of financial resources and diplomatic energy. Sadly, peace between the two sides has not been achieved, but we will not give up. Our hand remains extended to you. We are more committed to the cause of Israeli-Palestinian peace today than we've ever been before, and we believe we might be closer to that goal than ever before. Both Israelis and Palestinians have very real stories to tell, painful stories of challenges, distrust, and destruction. But this conflict is not just about the past. It must not be about all of those painful stories. It must be about future generations. Palestinian and Israeli children both deserve a future of peace, one no more and no less than the other. When those children are grown, they should look back and look to this time when the parties genuinely negotiated for their sake. These Palestinian and Israeli children deserve to have hope of a brighter and more peaceful future. Our wish and prayer is that this is the time both sides stop thinking about present needs and start thinking about future generations. I urge all countries in the Security Council and in the Middle East to temper their statements and their actions in the days ahead. Peace remains achievable. We must all do our parts to achieve it. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the United States for her statement. I give the floor to the representative of China.
Mr. President, I would like to thank you for convening this open meeting. And I thank Special Coordinator Mladenov for his briefing. The question of Palestine is the core of the Middle East issue and is fundamental to the achievement of peace in the Middle East. China is highly concerned at the recent developments regarding the status of Jerusalem. A series of Security Council resolutions, including Resolution 2334, all contain provisions regarding the status of Jerusalem. Any action of unilaterally changing the current status of Jerusalem will buffet the long-existing foundation for the settlement of the question of Palestine and will trigger new confrontations and conflicts in the region. We urge the parties concerned to bear in mind the overall interests of peace and tranquility as well as the peace process in the Middle East and avoid any action that might exacerbate tension or complicate the situation. China has always firmly supported and promoted the peace process in the Middle East. We support the just cause of the Palestinian people of restoring their legitimate national rights. And we support the establishment of a fully sovereign, independent state of Palestine based on the 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as his capital. this position of China will not change. The two-state solution is the right way for the political settlement of the question of Palestine. As a permanent member of the Security Council and a responsible state, China will continue to play a constructive role for the political settlement of the question of Palestine. Chinese President Xi Jinping has put forward four proposals for the promotion of the settlement of the question of Palestine. Namely, advancing the process of political settlement based on the two-state solution, adhering to a concept of common, integrated, cooperative, and sustainable security, further coordinating efforts of the international community and increasing synergy for peace, and taking integrated measures to promote peace through development. This year, China received visits by the President of Palestine, Mr. Abbas, and the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, and has engaged with both sides. Recently, President Xi Jinping sent a congratulatory message to the conference in commemoration of the International Day of Solidarity of the Palestinian People, in which he said that China firmly supports the peace between Palestine and Israel. China will remain true to its commitment and continue to work towards the settlement of the question of Palestine and promote the peace, stability, and development of the Middle East. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of China for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of Ethiopia.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank you, Mr. President, for organizing this very important, urgent meeting, and also express appreciation to those council members who took the initiative for the meeting. We thank Special Coordinator Mladenov for his briefing. We appreciate the statement that the Secretary General issued 2 days ago, which we believe was timely and most appropriate, and reaffirmed the long-standing position of the United Nations regarding the approach and the principles on the basis of which peace, security, and justice could be sought between the Israelis and the Palestinian sides. The chairperson of the African Union Commission has also spoken on our behalf when he reiterated the African Union position and called for renewed efforts to find a just and lasting solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, stressing the solidarity of the African Union with the Palestinian people and its support to their legitimate quest for an independent and sovereign state with East Jerusalem as its capital. We are indeed very concerned by this latest development surrounding Jerusalem because unilateral measures concerning a place with so much historical, religious, and therefore emotional significance is bound to cause incalculable damage and undermine the hope for peace. Jerusalem, as the Secretary General said, is a final status issue that must be resolved through direct negotiations between the two parties on the basis of the relevant Security Council and General Assembly resolutions, taking into account the legitimate concerns of both the Palestinian and Israeli sides. It seems to us there is only one viable, realistic, fair, and sustainable option for resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and that is the two-state formula, which entails two states living side by side in peace and security. We are not aware of any other viable option which would accommodate the interests of both parties and also accord with the interests of the region for durable peace and security while being consistent with the aspiration that people have for justice and fair play. We are not convinced that this latest development, which, not surprisingly, has begun to roil the Middle East, would advance the cause of peace. and lay the foundation for peace, security, and for two-state solution with all its implications. Obviously, the Middle East does not need all this, for it already has its fair share of insecurity and very complex challenges, which could affect not only the security of the region, but also that of the entire globe. That is why this latest development is so worrying and why it is so critical that ways and means are found to limit the damage that might be caused and try, no matter how difficult it might be, to save the two-state formula in a credible manner and in a way that goes beyond paying lip service. Many who still have had some hope despite the many hurdles have already begun to show signs of despair and hopelessness. We all know, and life experience has shown so many times, that when those who seek moderate solutions are deprived of space and their credibility is destroyed, the results are never salutary. That is one way of inadvertently opening the floodgate for extremism and terrorism. That is to say, the implications of this latest development is so huge, it warrants serious handling and readiness to look into what it is that the UN and Security Council can do to avert what otherwise could be the further destabilization of a region which is already facing major challenges. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank the representative of Ethiopia for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of Ukraine.
Mr. President, I would like to thank Special Coordinator Nikolai Mladenov for his statement. Ukraine is convinced that the issue of Jerusalem is a final status issue that needs to be resolved through negotiations only and in a strict compliance with the relevant Security Council resolutions. We hold it that the UN, through the Office of Special Coordinator Mladenov, as well as the Quartet, need to redouble their efforts in order to resume the negotiations and to reach progress in the Middle East peace process. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Ukraine for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of Kazakhstan.
Mr. President, we express our appreciation to Nikolai Mladenov for his briefing and to the delegations of Bolivia, Egypt, Italy, Senegal, Sweden, the UK and Uruguay for requesting the session about the status of Jerusalem. This session is important that it demonstrates once again that there is a unity among member states of the Security Council that peace in the Middle East is important, and it is a warning that any unilateral action to change the status quo or even the declaration about it cause a great concern. Kazakhstan's position on the Middle East peace process remains unchanged. Maintain the historical status quo in accordance with the previously reached international agreements. We firmly support the two-state solution and stand for the early resumption, especially in the bilateral format and without preconditions. The ultimate goal should be the restoration and promotion of peace process in accordance with relevant Security Council resolutions, the Madrid Principles, the Land in Exchange for Peace formula, and the roadmap of peace and Arab Peace Initiative. We stress once again that there is no alternative to the two-state solution. We call on both sides to refrain from provocative actions and rhetoric and take appropriate steps to resume direct negotiations as soon as possible and comply with obligations in the spirit of mutual respect and understanding, calm and compromise, and in accordance with the previous Security Council resolutions. Peace should be based on the inalienable right of the Palestinians to statehood and the right of Israel to its own durable long-term security. It is necessary to begin negotiations on each existing problem with a view to reach agreement on pending issues and giving them a so-called final status. Only such an approach would lead to the adoption of a basic treaty. Kazakhstan is strongly against any modification of the existing status quo around the future of Jerusalem. that can aggravate an already difficult situation and threatens to result in serious consequences to the entire region and to the world. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Kazakhstan for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of the Russian Federation.
Thank you very much, President. President, we have listened carefully to the views of the UN Special Coordinator on the Middle East, Mr. Mladenov, on the statement by Washington on the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Washington's decision on Jerusalem was greeted with criticism by the Palestinian side and by the Arab Muslim world. The President of Palestine, President Abbas, emphasized that it crosses out all of the efforts of the international community on the Middle East settlement. At the same time, Palestinian factions making up the Palestinian Liberation Organization and also Hamas called for strikes and protest marches in the Palestinian territories on the West Bank of the River Jordan and also in Gaza. In Moscow, the decision announced in Washington was greeted with serious concern. We are of the view that a fair and reliable settlement of the long-standing Palestinian-Israeli conflict should be reached on the well-known basis of international law, including the corresponding resolutions of the Security Council and the General Assembly of the United Nations. These stipulate the settlement of all aspects of the final status of the Palestinian territories, including the so sensitive question of Jerusalem, through the course of direct Palestinian-Israeli negotiations. We are worried by the fact that the new position announced by the United States on Jerusalem risks further complicating the situation in Palestinian-Israeli relations and in the region as a whole. Therefore, we call on all parties involved to exercise restraint and to refrain from actions which might have dangerous and uncontrollable consequences. It is necessary that particular attention is devoted to the issue of guaranteeing freedom of access for all worshippers to the holy places of Jerusalem. Russia's principal position remains unchanged. It stipulates facilitating a long-term Palestinian-Israeli settlement within the framework of which peaceful and safe existence is guaranteed for Israel within internationally acknowledged borders, and also the hopes of the Palestinian people are realized for the creation of their own independent state. In this, East Jerusalem would become the future capital of Palestine, and West Jerusalem would be the capital of the State of Israel. As a permanent member of the UN Security Council and an active participant in the Middle East Peace Quartet, Russia will continue to provide energetic assistance to Palestinians and Israelis in reaching the corresponding agreements. We confirm our firm position that there is no alternative to a two-state solution. Everybody should have an interest in resolving the Palestinian-Israeli and Arab-Israeli conflicts. Efforts to achieve this goal are worthy of support. However, without considering the interests of all parties, the Middle East peace settlement, any decision would not be viable. We welcome steps to strengthen the unity of the Palestinian nation through the facilitation of Egypt. We support the active involvement in the Middle East settlement of regional players, in particular Cairo and Amman. We reiterate our proposal that Russia can hold a summit between the leaders of Palestine and Israel. We await the long-promised proposal from the United Nations, from the United States, on the Palestinian-Israeli settlement, promised to the international community. We have already asked the American side to explain the sense behind the decision that was adopted on the possible transfer of the US embassy from Israel, in Israel, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We have asked for an explanation of how they see the consequences of this step for efforts which were undertaken under the UN's aegis within the framework of the Middle East Peace Quartet. We have drawn attention to the fears that have been expressed by Arabs and as a whole by Muslim countries, as well as by the League of Arab States and the OIC, on the fact that this might undermine and even put pay to the negotiations on a two-state solution, when the State of Israel and the State of Palestine could live fully-fledged, side by side, in safety. After all of this was reflected in the corresponding decisions of the UN General Assembly and the Security Council. President, in these conditions, it is as important as ever before to relaunch a sensible political process targeted at achieving a final and sustainable Palestinian-Israeli settlement on the basis of a two-state solution. In this sense, the Middle East Peace Quartet remains a unique mediation mechanism. I thank you.
I thank the representative of the Russian Federation for his statement. I shall now make a statement in my capacity as a representative of Japan. The Security Council has closely followed the Palestinian issue in its monthly meetings. I thank Mr. Mladenov for his update, and Japan shares his assessment of the alarming situation surrounding the peace process. Japan's position remains unchanged. Japan supports a two-state solution based on relevant UN Security Council resolutions, the Madrid Principles, the Quartet Roadmap, the agreements previously reached by the parties, and the Arab Peace Initiative. The final status of Jerusalem is a part of a range of issues that should be resolved through negotiations on the basis of the parameters I have just mentioned. President Trump reaffirmed his strong commitment to facilitating a lasting peace agreement and his support for a two-state solution in his announcement 2 days ago. Japan appreciates this strong commitment and support. Japan also notes well the importance of the president's clear acknowledgement that the final status of Jerusalem, including the sovereign boundaries within the city, must be subject to negotiation between the parties. The United States should continue to play an important role in advancing peace. Japan is concerned that the U.S. announcement could lead to worsening of the environment surrounding the Middle East peace process or the deterioration of the situation of the wider Middle East region. Japan took note of the Secretary General's statement 2 days ago on Middle East peace process and Mr. Mladenov's briefing today, calling against any unilateral measures that would jeopardize the prospect of peace. Japan has consistently reiterated this position in the context of the issues of settlements and violence. Japan is deeply worried about the heightening tension on the ground. At such times, cases of violence can easily snowball into larger crises. Japan has consistently stated that violence does not bring peace any closer. Japan calls upon the parties to maintain calm and act in the interest of peace, not violence. Against this backdrop, efforts to create an environment conducive to peace are all the more important. We have seen various initiatives and proposals by different parties to bring both sides closer to a meaningful negotiations. Their implementation is key, and Japan calls upon both Israelis and Palestinians to sincerely engage in these initiatives and take the opportunities for peace. Japan, for its part, will support efforts to bring peace in the Middle East by facilitating confidence building and economic development of Palestine. We are committed to working with our partners in the international community to uphold a two-state solution under which Israel and the future independent Palestinian state live side by side in peace, prosperity, and security. I resume my function as President of the Council. I now give the floor to the permanent observer of the observer state of Palestine.
Mr. President, I thank Japan in its capacity as Security Council President for its leadership and its in convening of this emergency meeting. I also express our gratitude to the 8 members of the Council, Egypt, Bolivia, France, Italy, Senegal, Sweden, the United Kingdom, and Uruguay that requested this meeting as a matter of urgency following recent alarming developments regarding Jerusalem. We also thank Special Representative and Special Coordinator Nikolai Mladenov for his briefing to the Council and thank the Secretary General for his statement in this regard. Mr. President, before I deliver the rest of my statement in English, let me say the following words in Arabic.
From this podium, I would like to commend our great Palestinian people who defend Jerusalem today in its neighborhoods, streets, and places of worships. I would like to commend those at the gate of Amud and in all the villages and Palestinian camps and all over the world. I would like to commend the honorable who support and defend international law, our rights, and the resolutions of the Security Council. Those who call for, and we support them, they call for the U.S. administration to withdraw its illegal decision, irresponsible decision, its provocative decision that has absolutely no meaning except pleasing the occupying power of Israel so that it will continue its arrogance, its injustice, and its defiance of international law. I would like to thank the 14 members of this council for their principled positions and legal positions towards Jerusalem.
We come before the Security Council today with a sense of urgency. We urge the Council to act swiftly to uphold its charter duties and the integrity and authority of its resolutions in light of the violations and the provocations against Jerusalem's legal, political, and historic status and the Palestinian people's rights and legitimate national aspirations. The extremely regrettable announcement on 6 December by United States President Donald Trump, declaring America's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and its decision to move its embassy to the city in direct contravention of Security Council resolutions and the long-standing international consensus on Jerusalem, has heightened tensions and risks complete destabilization of this volatile situation with far-reaching consequences. The Israeli government's glee at this decision underscores that the situation we face today has been blatantly instigated by the occupying power. Rather than complying with the Council's repeated demands to cease its violations in the occupied Palestinian territory, the Israeli Prime Minister and his government have persisted with these crimes and with their insistent bullying of world leaders to endorse Israelis' illegal policies and practices in the city and to even join it in the attempts to destroy the two-state solution on the pre-1967 lines, including by altering and undermining Jerusalem's legal status, character, and demography, along with that of the rest of the occupied territory in grave breach of international law and the relevant United Nations resolutions. We have often lamented this impunity, but not often enough addressed the enabling of these crimes that has led to the grave reality we now face. Complicity must be recognized. The U.S. decision to reward Israelis' impunity undermines and essentially disqualifies its leadership role to seek peace in the region. Indeed, the resounding rejection of this provocative decision by the world leaders is indicative of the injection of all such illegal policies and measures and of the immense concerns regarding the dangerous implications of this decision, including on the prospects for peace and security in the region and beyond. We are grateful for the strong principled positions expressed by states and organizations worldwide. The global consensus in this regard is clear. International law and the relevant Security Council resolutions, including inter alia, Resolution 478 of 1980 and Resolution 2334 of 2016, must be upheld and respected. The status of Jerusalem cannot be unilaterally altered or determined by any state, and this decision by the U.S. should be rescinded, should be reconsidered and rescinded. Mr. President, that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict continues to pose a threat to international peace and security is beyond question. This has been reconfirmed by the national, political, and religious sensitivities and emotions stirred by these developments. Jerusalem's significance to the Palestinian people, Muslims and Christians, cannot be underestimated. President Abbas, in his statement of 6 December, clearly reaffirmed our historic national and religious attachment to the Holy City. His declaration, along with those by Palestinian officials and millions of Palestinian citizens, should leave no question that Jerusalem is a matter of priority and a red line for Palestinians. There can be no just and lasting solution to the Palestine question without a just solution to the question of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has long been the heart of Palestine and always will be. Jerusalem's significance to all Arabs and Muslims worldwide also cannot be underestimated. It is the first Qibla, and Al-Haram al-Sharif is the third holiest sanctuary in Islam. The historic status quo at Al-Haram al-Sharif must be fully respected and preserved, as repeatedly called for the Arab and Muslim nations and by the international community as a whole, as reflected in the resolutions of this Council and the General Assembly. We recognize the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan and its special role and efforts in this regard as custodian of the holy sites in Jerusalem. And the clarity and strength of statements made in recent days, a profound backlash against this irresponsible unilateral decision, reaffirm the legitimate concerns and interests of the international community in the question of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has long been accorded a special political legal status, beginning with General Assembly Resolution 181 of 1947, in which the city was designated a corpus separatum, and the many resolutions therefore calling for protection of the city's unique spiritual, religious, and cultural dimensions and heritage, and for access to its holy sites by people of all religions and nationalities, with due regard for the fact that Jerusalem is sacred to the followers of the three monotheistic religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. The Assembly has just reaffirmed these principles by a vast majority in its resolution in Jerusalem, contrary to the false Israeli narrative and rhetoric in this regard. Mr. President, Israel has never been recognized as a sovereign over Jerusalem by any country. Its status remains unresolved, as affirmed in Security Council and General Assembly resolutions, and by its designation as a final status issue in the Middle East peace process for decades. Moreover, East Jerusalem remains occupied territory since 1967 and an integral part of the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory, to which international law, including the Fourth Geneva Convention, applies, as reaffirmed by the Council most recently in Resolution 2334 excuse me, of the year 2016, the Assembly and the International Court of Justice. We recall the Council's resolutions in Jerusalem, including, inter alia, resolutions 476 of 1980 and 478 of 1980, and the clear determination that, and I quote, all legislative and demonstrative measures and actions taken by Israel, the occupying power which purport to alter the character and status of the holy city of Jerusalem have no legal validity and constitute a flagrant violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention and are null and void and must be rescinded forthwith. These are the words of these resolutions. Resolution 478 rejected Israelis' attempts to forcibly annex East Jerusalem, deeming the enactment by the occupying power of its basic law as a violation of international law and demanding that it be rescinded. The Council further specifically called on all member states to accept its decision not to recognize the basic law and any other such actions seeking to alter the character and status of Jerusalem, and directly called on, and I quote, those states that have established diplomatic missions at Jerusalem to withdraw such missions from the holy city, end of quotation. In resolution 2334, the Council unequivocally affirmed that, and I quote, it will not recognize any changes to the 4th of June 1967 lines, including with regard to Jerusalem, other than those agreed by the parties through negotiations, end of quotation. The U.S. decision cannot change these facts. I repeat, the U.S. decision cannot change these facts. Actions contrary to the Security Council resolutions do not have any legal effect and cannot change the applicability of international law to this situation, including the prohibition on the acquisition of territory by force. The occupied territory of the State of Palestine, encompassing the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip, is an established legal and political fact. No policy announcement can change that reality, nor can it negate the rights of the Palestinian people as per international law and the relevant UN resolutions. Mr. President, the Security Council must reaffirm its clear position on Jerusalem's status and affirm its rejection of all violations by whomever and whenever. Security Council resolutions remain fully valid and must be implemented. These resolutions are the key to peace. The very negative messages sent by this reckless action to our people that our conviction in international law and the international system, our patience and perseverance, our endless pursuit of peace and good faith cooperation with all peace initiatives, no less our historic, painful compromise for peace based on the two-state solution, have all been to no avail, and that those who play by the rules will lose while those who trample the law will win, must be redressed. The Council must act to restore the Palestinian people's belief in international law as the most viable path, the realization of our rights and freedom, to restore our belief that peace is impossible, and to ensure that not another generation will suffer this grave injustice. A repeatedly warned by President Abbas, the Council must also act to avert further exacerbation of religious sensitivities, which threaten to transform this solvable political territorial conflict into a never-ending religious war that will only be exploited by extremists, fueling more radicalism, violence, terrorism and strife in the region and elsewhere. We call on the Council to denounce the recent decision on Jerusalem and to act responsibly and assert its authority in the efforts to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We will work with partners, with all of you, in pursuit of a resolution by the Security Council, and believe that Article 27, subsection 3 of the Charter should be invoked and applicable in this regard. We call again on the United States to rescind this decision and rectify this serious matter in conformity with relevant resolutions and in a manner that will salvage the prospects for a peaceful solution and ensure, sooner than later, a future of peace, security, prosperity, and dignity for both the Palestinian and Israeli peoples. In line with the relevant resolutions, we call on all states not to recognize the unlawful situation resulting from Israelis' illegal measures, not to recognize such unilateral decisions, and to act accordingly in all of their policies and actions, including vis-à-vis Israelis' illegal settlement colonization of our land. We also call on those states that have not recognized the state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital on the basis of the pre-1967 borders to do so as a matter of urgency and as an investment in peace. Such a practical step would be accorded with the long-standing international consensus and their own declared commitments regarding the two-state solution. Considering recent developments, this would also represent an important contribution to salvaging peace prospects, pushing back against actions that undermine the efforts to achieve a just and lasting solution based on the relevant UN resolutions, the Madrid principles, including the principle of land for peace and the 2002 Arab Peace Initiative. We call yet again for collective peace efforts. In Resolution 2334, the Council urged the intensification and acceleration of international and regional diplomatic efforts aimed at achieving without delay a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East. It is high time for all concerned parties to mobilize such efforts. From now on, it has to be a collective process. Whether in the Security Council, by the Quartet, plus, 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 it has to be collective because one party to dominate the process did not lead to success. It led to what we noticed 2 days ago. We cannot continue repeating the same failed formula and mistakes of the peace process of decades past. It is clear that only a collective effort can resolve this prolonged conflict. The recognition that all must do their part and that a multilateral approach is the more effective path has been central to the Arab Peace Initiative, to the French Initiative, as well as the efforts of the Russian Federation, China, Egypt, and the Quartet. It is urgent to expand upon and accelerate those efforts. One party cannot continue to monopolize the peace process, especially not one that acts with bias in favor of the occupying power at the expense of the law and the rights of the occupied people. Mr. President, on our part in the days ahead, President Abbas and the Palestinian leadership will continue their consultations at all levels to address this critical situation and determine the most appropriate way forward. This will include emergency meetings of the PLO Central Council to affirm a unified Palestinian national position, as well as the upcoming Arab ministerial meeting in Jordan and the OIC summit in Turkey on Wednesday. Central to all of these efforts will remain our overreaching priorities, protection of our steadfast people, our land, including Jerusalem, and our holy sites for as long as Israelis' belligerent foreign occupation persists, and the exertion of all efforts to bring an end to that occupation to achieve a just and lasting peace that fulfills the rights of the Palestinian people, ensures a just solution for the plight of the Palestine refugees in accordance with Resolution 194, numero 2, and the Arab Peace Initiative, and achieves the independence of the State of Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital, where our people can finally live in freedom, dignity, peace, and security side by side with Israel and all other neighbors in the new Middle East. And I thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the permanent observer of the Observer State of Palestine for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Israel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Wednesday's declaration marks a milestone for Israel, for peace, and for the world. The United States had the courage and true understanding of justice to officially state what has always been known, that Jerusalem has and always will be the capital of Israel, and the Embassy of the United States belongs in Israel's capital. For that, I thank President Trump, Vice President Pence, Ambassador Haley, and the American people. The Jewish people are an ancient nation. 3,000 years ago, King David declared the city of Jerusalem the capital of the Jewish people. Jerusalem, Zion in Hebrew, appeared in the Bible 660 times. It is the centerpiece of our vibrant Jewish history. Three times a day, Jews face toward Jerusalem to pray. At every birth, at every wedding, we remember Jerusalem. I have here a replica of an ancient coin found on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It is dated from the year 67 AD, during the time of the Second Jewish Temple. The words Yerushalayim HaKdosha, Jerusalem the Holy, are written on this coin. Only 3 years later, in the year 70 AD, would our Holy Temple be destroyed and the Jewish people sent into exile for 2,000 years. Nearly 70 years ago, this week, shortly after Israel declared independence, Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion made a timeless affirmation. He said, and I quote, "Jerusalem is an inseparable part of Israel and the eternal capital. No United Nations vote can alter that historic fact." It was an important message, one that the world too often seems to forget. Last year, in this very same room, we were here, all of us, almost all of us. The Security Council passed the shameful resolution 2334. This council had the audacity, the chutzpah, to say that Israel's presence at the Western Wall in Jerusalem has, and I quote, "no legal validity," and constitutes a flagrant violation under international law. Then, in May 2017, UNESCO, the organization responsible for preserving cultural heritage, passed a resolution declaring that Israel has no legal or historical rights anywhere in Jerusalem. It was one historical wrong after another. That is why President Trump's decision was so important. The United States had the courage and the sound moral judgment to right these historic wrongs. They recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel. Middle Eastern capitals are not known for tolerance. They are not known for freedom of religion, but not in Israel. Jerusalem under a sovereign Israel is more free and more open to people of all religions than at any other time in history. In Jerusalem, all people practice their religions freely. These values are enshrined in our Declaration of Independence, the founding document of our state. We pledged, and I quote, to safeguard the holy places of all religions. We have always known that Jerusalem is holy for others too. From the moment of our founding, we pledged to create a state that would honor that holiness, a democracy that would respect and value the traditions of all people. That has never changed. That will never change. Not this past week, not tomorrow, not ever. The announcement on Wednesday revealed a sad truth about some people around the world, the people who threaten to ignite a wave of violence against Israel and Jews everywhere, the people who may claim they want peace, but whose actions speak louder than their words. That is why today, every member of this council must send a clear message. There is never an excuse for violence. Violence must never be used as a threat. Mr. President, we have heard these threats before. In 1948, when Israel was declared, US President Harry Truman was warned not to recognize us. People said such recognition would spark terrible violence. But President Truman stood strong, just as President Trump did this week. They made the right decision. The Palestinians now have a decision to make. They can choose violence, as they have always done. And as we speak, we receive reports about rockets flying from Gaza into Israel. Or they can choose to join us at the negotiating table. They can meet us to talk in Ramallah, in Jerusalem, or anywhere around the world. I sincerely hope they make the right decision. The American announcement should serve as a reality check for the Palestinians and for the nations of the world. They can see this moment for what it is, an opportunity to initiate hope. They can realize what has always been true, that recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital is a critical and necessary step for peace. They can learn that there will never be peace without Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel. That is why today I call on all countries, all peace-seeking nations of the world, to join with our American friends. Recognize Jerusalem's connection to Israel and move your embassies to our capital. Understand that this declaration is a positive step, seeing it the potential that it can bring to our region. Mr. President, twice a year, Jews all over the world conclude two of our major holidays, Yom Kippur and Passover, with a prayer. That prayer calls for, quote, next year in Jerusalem. 70 years ago, the Jewish people came home to Jerusalem. We are grateful to the United States for its courageous decision. We call on all the nations of the world to join us this year in Jerusalem, the capital of the state of Israel. La Shana Abaa, Birushalayim Abnuya.